Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. The basic premise that our show is built on is that all children have a natural ability to learn. As a matter of fact, we all have a natural ability to learn. It's for all parents, teachers, and students who truly want to succeed. To get more information on the material we will cover, you can go to www.howtolearneasily.com. Mm-hmm. Or if you have any questions or stories you'd like to tell us, you can email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com.
Okay, thanks, Virginia. We have a very special guest today, a young lady that I met in Philadelphia on the first occasion a year ago, and then again just a few months ago. Her name is Michelle Vallien, and Michelle is a teacher, a parent, author, and a speaker. She currently teaches part-time as a reading and math specialist, helping struggling children to improve their academic skills. And she is the mother of three teenagers and has been a very involved parent, volunteering throughout her children's schooling careers. When her kids were young, she was enrolled in baby and toddler programs, a PEPS group, and a parent cooperative preschool. All of these support systems, and I think if you need any information on this, you could contact Michelle through her website, which we'll give you the details of in a second. All these systems help her to grow and develop as a parent. So she's excited to help other parents to learn more about preparing their children for school success. And Michelle is the co-founder of Learner's Lane, that's a plural in there, Learner's with an S at the end, Lane, a successful education company that has been offering enrichment programs for children ages 4 to 12 in the areas of reading, writing, math, and chess for over a decade. The programs run through local schools and community centers. And she also speaks to groups of teachers, parents, and volunteers on various learning topics. She is on the board of directors for the Foundation of Early Learning, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to help children to be socially, emotionally, and intellectually prepared to succeed in life. And interestingly enough, when Michelle's own children were young, she wasn't able to find it easy or find easy to use resources to help her kids build early literacy skills and to help prepare them for school. So in order to fill this void and to help other parents, she decided to write her book titled What Children Need to Learn to Read, The Complete Parent's Guide to Ensuring Literacy, A Love of Reading, and School Readiness, Birth Through the Early Grades Edition. It has the goal it is created actually as a user-friendly parent guide that offers a quick and simple tip, and many tips actually, and activities that can be incorporated in a family's busy everyday routines. And Michelle, this was an interesting thing that I recall you mentioning in Philadelphia, of the point that parents are the child's first teachers, and every activity in life with the child is basically a learning opportunity. And I noticed that the dedicated stare you had on your project. Would you like to tell the audience just how you really came to all of this?
Yes, I would love to, Roger. Thanks. I have been a dedicated teacher and parent for many years because I see so many children that are entering school that aren't prepared to learn, and they don't have the background knowledge and the basics that they need to start school on the right track. And when my kids were little, I was trying to find as many resources as I could to help them to become ready for school and ready for learning. And there just weren't that many resources out there, and the ones that were out there were very technically written and was a little bit too much for a busy parent to deal with. So I wanted to make sure that my own children could be ready for school and other parents could do the same thing. So I developed a reading program, and then it turned into a reading book after the program was a success. So in order for me to get going on that, the reason I started the whole thing was because my daughter, my oldest daughter, who's actually 18 right now, in second grade, she failed a reading assessment test, and I couldn't believe that my own child was not doing well in reading.
Right.
And because of the lack of resources for parents at that time, I thought, this is crazy. If I can't even do this to the teacher, then what do all the other parents out there think able to accomplish this as well? So I started a reading group out of my home with my daughter and some of our neighbors and their children that were her age. And we started playing reading games and reading books and having fun with literacy. We had a book night every month where the kids would read a book and then we'd all come and play games and act out parts of the story and have dessert. And within 6 months of doing this reading group, my daughter was not behind in reading anymore. She was 2 grade levels above where she was supposed to be reading.
That's fantastic.
And they were just simple, fun activities that we enjoyed reading with.
Hmm. That's a remarkable turnaround.
Yeah, it was. It was very exciting. And since then, the group, we've been running reading classes. Doing them out of my home for quite a few years to hire other teachers to help, and then it's expanded so much that we are currently running them out of community centers in the area as well as local elementary schools.
Boy, that's wonderful. It really speaks to the point that the huge importance the parents have in helping their kids make it at school. Our program, I know, was listened to by many homeschoolers, so your book would be hugely valuable to them. What's the websites that they should go to download your material and get a hold of all this stuff? A lot of free material, I notice, on your website.
Yes, the website is learnerslane.com.
Yep.
LEARNERS.
Yep.
Lane.com, and we do have many free downloadable resources and activities and songs. And then we also have a special going on right now with the book What Children Need to Learn to Read. If you order that, you get also get a free CD with all of the music and rhymes and songs that are listed within the book.
Excellent. Okay. The question I have of you as both teacher and parent, while you were engaged in this in the early stages, did you personally discover anything about how children learn and their styles of learning and that type of thing that you can pass on to other parents who are listening?
Yes, I would love to do that. Children learn in so many different ways.
Right.
And you can't just stick with one type. You have to have a variety of styles that you teach with, and you want to try to pull kids in with their different interests and styles. And I think one of the most important things as a parent that you can do is make learning fun.
Yeah.
And keep that bonding time between you and your child so that they feel the closeness and the value that you put on them as a person, as well as the values that you put on learning and education.
Yeah.
Spending that time with them, having fun, doing a variety of different activities, and just engaging them in learning in entertainment way.
Quite right. We wrote in our own book, How to Learn How to Teach, Overcoming the 7 Barriers to Comprehension. One of the key first barriers to children learning is if they've not been made aware of or have not yet discovered the value of a subject to them, I, why should they pay attention to it? What's the use to them? When that's missing, of course, they don't pay any attention, can get bored by it, and actually lose out on that subject. One of the wins that your daughter had, I know that just before the program we were looking at this, perhaps with your daughter present, she might be able to speak of this herself, the wins she had, what she discovered, what it's meant to her in her life.
My daughter Brianna is on the call with us right now.
Okay.
And we'd love to tell you a little bit about her successes and kind of where she started and where she's at now.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi there, Brianna.
It's really hard for me to remember when I wasn't into reading because I love it so much now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do remember all the book nights we'd have and eating dessert together, and I feel like it really changed my reading. And I'd always have my dad reading stories to my mom too. And then I just grew up and turned around. I've been loving reading. It's like all I do. Always reading books.
Okay.
Stories.
So I hear that you actually are now graduated to being a writer, and you had a play performed. How was that?
Oh, it was so great. I was in a playwriting class.
Yeah.
And I was just working on this play for a final project in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard about this drama fest that was going on where they produced or student-written and student-directed student-action plays.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be fun to submit a play and see if it would get in. And it did, so I was really excited. And so I got to see it perform on stage. And it was just so great to see the actors saying my words. And then to listen to the audience and wait for, if it was a comedy, I would be waiting to see if they'd laugh at some of the lines.
Yeah.
They did. It just made me so happy. They found that funny too. I'm glad.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, they were giving out awards for like best one act play and best playwright, and I won both of them.
Huh.
I cast all won both best actors and stuff. So it was really fun. Really exciting.
That is good. So if someone was interested in writing, what advice would you give them?
I'm just reading, really. And writing. Just every day. Just write out whatever you want. It's just rewrite whatever pops into your head. Just type it up or write it down to get it flowing. And also, just reading, whatever you enjoy reading. Great.
So you really do see the value of being able to read and write, eh?
Yes.
Good. So is Michelle there again for me?
I'm still here.
Still here, okay, Michelle. That's a wonderful story, actually. So she's found her love and life to do, a career. She's going to be a writer and playwright, eh?
Yes, that's what she loves to do, and she reads all the time. And it all started way back there in 6th grade. And just the small things that a parent can do can make a huge difference child's life.
Yeah. So I have a question of you, and obviously you're the key person to ask this sort of question of. Why is early learning so critical?
Well, brain research has shown that children from that very young age pick up so much, and it's such a critical time in their learning, their learning. And if they're missing that point where they haven't gotten as much background knowledge and learning in that age, then they end up being behind when they start school.
Yeah.
And children that start school behind and don't have that foundation are much more likely to drop out of school or not be successful in the future, because when you start behind, might improve, but all the other kids are improving as well.
Yeah.
So you just have a very hard time keeping up, and it's so easy for parents to just do some very small things and make that huge difference and get their child started off on the right track.
Okay.
This seems to confirm what another one of our guests previously said, and that was that parents need to be involved in their child's education. He was a teacher in inner city schools, and he said the one thing he found that caused children to excel was that the parents were very heavily involved in the child's education, as opposed to those who said, if you get your homework done, fine. If you don't, that's fine too.
Did you hear that, Michelle?
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear Virginia on my end, but yes, the parents do need to be involved. And before kids get to school, parents need to go to the basement and have one again. So we'll be definitely stay at home.
Yeah. We observe this too, and we write about it in our book. That to the point where we actually have an exercise and a drill whereby you can recover the natural ability to learn for a child if it's ever been knocked out. And what we've observed in kids that come out of day schools and such and out of homes where the parents are not terribly involved, they start to get invalidated, and they begin to think that they're slow, or that they're, you know, a slow learner, or they're dull or whatever. And it's not true. It's a wrong label, and the child actually can have their ability to learn rehabilitated and put back with them, and so they're confident that they can actually make it. So I'm really in agreement with you on the point you made about the criticalness of helping these children really get it early on. And that's really answers, I think, the second question I had here, which is why is it important to work with your kids at home, and what is your philosophy on the best way to accomplish this, is the next question.
Well, you want to show your children that you value education and you value them as a person. And my philosophy is that you want to, as a parent, not do so much the drill and practice all the time, but to have fun with activities and learning and incorporate things into your daily routine that don't even seem like a lesson. You know, I'll give you a few examples of some of the activities from my book, What Children Need to Learn to Read. One activity that you can do while you're getting dinner ready is you can spray a little bit of shaving cream on your kitchen table or a cookie sheet or something. Have your child spread it out and finger paint in the shaving cream. You can be cooking dinner and asking them, okay, could you draw an A in the shaving cream? So they draw an A, and then maybe ask them, okay, what can you draw? A picture of something that starts with the letter A. And just have them use that tactile sense and feel the shaving cream as well as doing some learning activities in it. They think they're playing a game,
right.
And you're getting your dinner ready. They're learning, and they're also cleaning the table, cleaning their hands, and getting ready for dinner at the same time. So things that you can do that incorporate learning into everyday routine that don't take a lot of extra time. Your child doesn't feel like they're being drilled or pushed or
ignored.
Yeah, or ignored. and then they're learning, and they're just building that foundation gradually.
Right.
You're not having to push things down their throat and, you know, learn this. You're having a good time with your child. There, you know, another activity that we do is called a letter hunt or a word hunt.
Yeah.
Write letters or spelling words on note cards, and then you could hide them around your house or in your yard, and then have your child go on a letter or a word hunt. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for the words or the letters, and once they find one, they tell you what the word is, spell it, or say the sound of the letter, and then they hunt for the other one. So they're actively involved. Nursery rhymes are also so critical in a child's development. They've done research that show a three-year-old's exposure to nursery rhymes has a direct correlation on later reading achievement.
So that's interesting.
All those rhymes that we learned when we were little that a lot of times parents nowadays are forgetting about are very critical in building that.
That is an interesting point you make, because I'm 75 years old, as my listeners know, and my generation grew up quite differently to the current generation. We did get our nursery rhymes from our parents, but nowadays parents can tend to sort of leave the kids in front of the television and get their tales from television. It's a whole different dynamic, unfortunately. Yes, it's important for parents to involve their children and help them like this. And how about grandparents? I think you've got a thing about grandparents being able to really participate in this as well.
Yeah, grandparents, can't leave them out. They're a very important part of a child's growing up and developing, and they have a very special bond with their grandparents. And a lot of times grandparents want to know what they can do to help as well.
Right.
And they can do a lot of these same activities, and many times they might think, well, what do I do with my grandchild? They're, I want to, spend some time with them, but I'm not sure what to do. So playing some of these games when they have their grandchildren over for a visit, singing some of the nursery rhymes that they have learned or that we have in the book. And if they live far away, an idea that we list in the book as well, along with many others, is that they can record themselves reading a children's book and maybe send that book and the recording to their grandchild so that they can listen to their grandparents. They could either videotape it or they could record audio record it. And their grandchild can have that as a special time that they can listen or see their grandparents sharing a book with them.
That's good. When I went to your website to check everything out prior to the program, I noticed that a lot of this material is on your site. And if I remember rightly, you had recently a special offer with a lot of this material because it was Reading Month last month. In
right. March was National Reading Month.
Yeah.
And now we're doing Spring Into Reading because we want to get kids this end of the year time before summer starts and get them excited about reading. So we do have our special offer of if you purchase a copy of What Children Need to Learn to Read from learnerslane.com, you also get a free CD as well that has all of the rhymes and songs from the book itself. And there's a special letter song that helps kids learn their sounds and letters.
And that's good.
On the website, we also have many free downloadable forms and flashcards and sight words and different activities that they can do as well that are free.
Michelle.
Yes.
What you just said, you said spring into reading. It's spring, so we're going to spring into reading and getting kids ready for the end of school just triggered for me a memory of what my mother used to do for us during the summer to keep us reading. She actually set up a reading challenge. And so my brother, my sister, and I, we would be awarded or rewarded for reading either a certain amount of books or a certain amount of pages, and we would have to write book reports. Of course, we were in school at that time, but do you have anything like that? Do you have recommendations of what parents can do with their kids during the summer when the kids are off?
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Boy, your mom was right on track with that.
Yeah,
and on the website we have a reading checklist, or a chart that you can have your children do. They can fill in all the, or you can fill in if they don't write yet, books that they read, books that you read with them. If it's a chapter book, you can list each chapter so that they can see, you know, their success and how many. And then at the end of the sheet, it asks them what was your favorite book and why, and some other questions about the book. And then there's a chart that they can, well, they also make a goal of how many books they're going to read for either that day or the week. And then you can put a little sticker or a stamp on their little reading chart to track how many times they've reached their goal. And then there's also a free downloadable reading certificate that you can give to your child as they complete the reading chart. So there are many ways to get kids excited about reading and to show them their success.
That is good. When I went onto the site, I noticed the array of tools that parents have available there that they can use as part of their planning and handling of advancing their child's literacy and learning at an early stage. I thought it was wonderful. It's the best I've seen, actually. Yeah, it's really impressive, and I can't recommend it highly enough for all you parents who really care about your kids and their success, not only in school, but in their future life. Because the truth is, the rot sets in terms of illiteracy or failure in life at the age that we're talking of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is where the damage is done, and this is where it has to be prevented. And I think that what you've got there, Michelle, on your site and what you're doing is so valuable in that regard. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell us today? Before we wind up the program, we're getting up to nearly half an hour here now.
No, I just wanted to say one last thing, that parents shouldn't be, you know, scared of all this. It is so important that they participate in their child's learning.
Right.
But it's not hard for them to do. It's simple, it's quick, and they will be able to bond with their children, and it will pay off huge dividends later on.
Right.
They shouldn't be scared of it. They just need to have the tools and then they go for it and have fun with it.
I also
wanted to thank Roger, you and Virginia, for having Brianna and I on your program. We really enjoyed chatting with you this morning or today, and thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Michelle. I really believe in what you're doing, and that last point you made is, I think, so valuable, that doing this with your kids really creates this partnership situation between the parent and child. And that's so important and so valuable. So thank you. And I look forward to seeing you again in Philadelphia next year, maybe.
Yes, that'd be
okay.
Great.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. It's for all parents, teachers, and students who truly want to succeed. The basic premise of our show is that all kids have a natural ability to learn. As a matter of fact, we all have a natural ability to learn. To get more information about the material we covered today, you can go to howtolearneasily.com. Or if you have any questions or stories you'd like to send us, to get more information on the material we covered today, you can go to howtolearneasily.com. Or if you have any questions or stories that you would like to share with us, you can email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com.